Hello, I'm a professional voiceover artist. I'm getting paid to record this. You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, February 9th, 2015. You are listening to episode 141. My name is Rob. Sitting there is Mr. Snotty, Jason Slingerland. Just a big old sneeze right before I was about to start talking. There goes some good sniffles. Thanks a lot for that. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, I love sharing your air down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Not much.
Kind of great. Thanks for the enthusiasm.
Kind of tired.
Why are you so tired?
I should sleep more than I do.
You have two kids, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's not why. No? I just don't go to bed on time.
Oh, well.
I just go to bed super late.
Well, again, we're recording this right before Unpub, so I imagine the amount of sleep to get, you're going to get it to continually decrease all the way up to Unpub, because that's generally how you roll right before convention, right?
Yeah.
You stay up later and later and later to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the good news is once we get to Unpub, like, we don't have to be up early, because I don't think the convention hall opens till 10 every day. So.
Oh, for real? Okay, that's good. Yeah, so we can stay out late drinking every night.
Or we could just go to bed at a decent time and get lots of sleep.
No, that's not going to happen. At the very least, we'll be up late playing games.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but if we're up till midnight playing games, we can sleep until 8. That is amazing to me. I rarely sleep until 8.
Because you have kids.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say on non-work days, I probably get up about 8. Most of those days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Unpub is already a week past at this point.
So great.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an awesome time, but we're recording this beforehand, so what do you have left to do to get ready for that?
Balance a game.
That's it? Get all your rules done, your sell sheets ready?
No.
Business cards organized?
No. Thanks for making this even worse than it was.
I'm trying to help.
No, I got to make my sell sheets, but that'll take me like no time. Sell sheets are easy.
Yeah, I need to finalize my rules. I want to give a quick thank you to Neil out there. Neil has been giving me a ton of really good feedback and comments on my Saloon Tycoon rules, so thank you very much for that, Neil. I'm not taking every snotty suggestion you make, but they're all very welcome, so thank you.
I love reading Neil's suggestions, because they're always good, but they always crack me up, too, because he's very detail-oriented.
Yeah, that's good. So,
if you ever need somebody to read your rules, Neil Roberts, you cannot do better than Neil Roberts.
So, thanks, Neil. Appreciate that. So I need to finalize my rules, and I need to make some sell sheets. I might not even bother to make sell sheets for this fighting game.
Right.
For this new version. I'm actually come to think of maybe I should, just because it's Rocket Records and people have heard of it.
Yeah.
Even if they haven't heard of this version of it. So maybe I should.
I remember that name. And you'd be like, do you remember what the game is about? Not really. Great.
Good.
Let me show it to you.
Let me show you how it works. So I should probably do that for both of them. Dang, that sucks. But other than that, so I just need to put the finishing touches on rules and sell sheets, and I'm ready to go. So come to think of it, I'm going to make you an offer here. Because I've been kind of ragging on you a little bit to make some better tiles, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to put together some PDF files and buy some foam core, I'll print them out on peel and stick label sheets and stick them and cut them out for you.
Seriously?
Yeah, but you need to get that to me by like Friday of this week.
Okay, that probably won't happen.
Okay.
Saturday is probably the best I can do.
Saturday's the best you can do. I can't promise, because I also have to design some baby shower invitations for my wife before I go to Unpub. We're not having a baby. She's throwing a baby shower for somebody else, and she doesn't want to pay for... I won't let her pay someone else to make baby shower invitations, because I don't want her to spend all the extra money on that out of our pocket.
Just do it.
When I can just do it. Yeah.
You can just buy them at the store. They're not expensive.
Well, girls, you know, they want custom stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
You know how it is. You know
girls,
how it is. Come on.
Come on, girls.
You're married to one, you know.
So that's a nice offer. I will see if I can help with that.
Okay.
Because, I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, yeah.
I would like to see you with decent, better tiles.
I know.
You know, because I'm telling you, it will make a huge difference on usability for those things.
I agree.
For those things not shifting around all over the table.
Right. I agree. All right. So, those are the things we have left to do for Unpub.
Yeah. What you been playing lately?
Oh, nothing. I mean, I've been
focusing on that.
Yeah.
I'm playing Far Cry 4. Too much Far Cry 4. That game is a first-person shooter.
Yep.
In an open world. And it's fine. It's about the best I can say. Wow. I don't know. It's fine. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it's, it's...
You heard it here first, folks. Far Cry 4 is fine.
Fine. It's fine. Yeah. Christine likes it a whole lot more than I do for whatever reason. I'm not sure.
That's weird.
I think she's probably playing it right now. She played it last night, all night, while you and I were out playtesting stuff, and she's probably playing it the whole time we're recording tonight. So she'll probably be finished with it before I'm even halfway through it. But then again, she doesn't have to get ready for Unpub, so, you know.
Yeah. In fact, she'll just play games while you're at Unpub, probably.
Probably. And, yeah, so she'll probably also finish Last of Us by the time I get back, too. Last of Us is pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good game. You should get a PS4 and get Last of Us, because that's good.
I don't need a PS4 for that.
That's true, you don't. You could just get it on your PS3. You should buy that for your PS3.
I should hook my PS3 back up.
You should.
Do that.
Right.
After Unpub, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I haven't played any other games. I did get Tokaido. Because I got a gift certificate to our local game shop, for Christmas, from the people that I work with. And I bought Tokaido and I haven't played it yet, but I'm excited about buying that and playing that soon. I don't think I've played anything else though.
All right.
Yeah.
Good time. So, this week we thought, we didn't have any specific topics to talk about and we had some questions and some voicemails. So we thought we'd just kind of go through those, for a topic just because, yeah, we had a plan to have a guest on, and then the scheduling didn't work out at the last minute.
Sadly.
So because of that, we will be, so I'm going to pitch a game, but I'm going to need some help with it.
Sure.
I mostly thought of it today. So, yeah. But anyways, so let's start out with some Twitter questions.
Some Twitter questions.
We'll go into the voicemails.
Some tweeters.
So first we have a comment from our website.
Good.
I don't think it's that old, but... it is from Gnome School.
From our website, buildingthegamepodcast.com.
Yeah, in case you weren't aware. Hey there, I found your podcast today and I really enjoy it. I've been trying to make my own board and card games for about 5 years now as a hobby. And though I never finish something, I often don't like my games after some playtests. Hey, you're like Chevy Dodd. this just resized and now I can't read it. For me, it's always very interesting to hear others speaking about their thoughts, especially how they encounter doubts through the process of making the game, because I always have those a lot. Hey, yeah, us too. Mm-hmm. A good thing for me is that there are already so many episodes to listen to, so I'm going to catch up on that now. Thanks for this great podcast. Well, hey, thanks, dude.
Yeah, thanks. What was the name again? Gnome School. Yep. Yeah.
And his real name's in here, but I'm not going to say it. That's fine. He listed it as Gnome School.
Yeah, so. 140 other episodes apart from this one to listen to, plus a bunch of bonus episodes, 39 bonus episodes. Cool. Yeah, we know very well that most of our ideas are garbage, and many of them are hot garbage.
We like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Ideas.
So
garbage.
Totally know what you mean. Totally know what you mean. The only reason that you guys hear so many of our hot garbage ideas is because we've put ourselves in... Oops, something just fell down upstairs.
Probably a small child.
Okay. They're probably fine. Moving on.
They're not screaming. They're okay.
No screams.
Or they're unconscious.
So the only reason you guys hear a lot of our hot garbage ideas is because we have to say them out loud. We committed ourselves to this once a week. So, yeah.
They're like, they can all be gems, people.
Right. In fact, few of them are.
All right. So... So we got some voicemails here.
Okay.
We're going to go into. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
You ready for some voicemails?
I love
we do
voicemails.
We're going to end with somebody sent us so a pitch much. Challenge. We're going to end with voicemails. That. We're going to do a brief pitch challenge, but we will cover it. So, okay. Here's the first one.
Hi, Rob, Jason, Builders, it's Shu again. I was listening to your Press Your Luck section of the latest episode, and I... when you were talking about there being a card game where you could just draw a bunch of cards and press your luck, there's a really cool game that just came off Kickstarter that also is an iPhone app that's a lot of fun called Dead Man's Draw. You should really check out. It's a press your luck game that uses only cards. I kicked it or backed it or whatever you call it at the game level, and it should be sending out to me anytime soon. I played the print and play once with a buddy of mine, and it's really addictive, and it's a lot of fun around a table. The iPhone app, pressure luck games on digital devices tend to feel a little bit cheaty faced, I think. I have the Zombie Dice app as well, and it just seems like it's mostly just randomly generated wins and losses. But I just thought I'd lay that out there and let you guys take a look at it. But it's a really cool pressure luck game, and you should try it out.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds good. I hear what you're saying. I mean, in the end, all the stuff is just random, right? But I hear exactly what you're saying with iPhone app pressure luck stuff, where it just feels like it's randomly generating a win or a lose. I don't know why. I think mechanically it's basically the same thing. I mean, it's a random shuffle versus a random number generator, but something about it just feels cheap on an iPhone.
Feels disingenuous when it's not the
Yeah. So what was that again?
Dead Man's Draw.
Dead Man's Draw.
I actually have it on the iPhone because it was free when it first came out.
Oh yeah.
But I didn't back in a Kickstarter. I didn't know about it on a Kickstarter. But okay. I've never actually played it.
Huh.
It was just free, so I got it because it was free.
I do that a lot. I get a lot of free apps that I never even launch. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because we were talking about how pressure luck feels like it just fits with dice, and we weren't real familiar with stuff that used cards so much. So that's good to know. Yeah, so always good to hear from you, Shu. Thank you very much. What are you giggling at?
Google Voice translates, uh-huh. I say in quotes, air quotes, translates.
Oh, that's always a trip. Messages.
It's just really funny.
What's it say? Read it to us.
I'll read it to you later.
Well, now you got to read it on the show.
I'm not going to read it right now because it's going to ruin the voicemail.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to play the voicemail, and then I want to read the first section to you.
All right, okay.
It cracks me up. Anyways.
So thanks, Shu, for that. I guess we're about to hear the next voicemail then that Jason's giggling about.
BTG, Lanier Wexford. No, just kidding. This is Nate Darty, a long-time listener, first-time voice commenter. Just had a couple of comments on the January 12th episode. Actually, before that, Rob, have you thought about adapting your Microfight game to the cardboard arcade system? I think the cards in there would probably fit pretty well with what you already had in mind. And it's, you know, a system that's already out there. And Jason, for the And the Wolves Come Out, a couple of thoughts. One is, I'm not sure I agree with the use of cubes, because if everything else is cards, then you might as well keep everything cards. That way, when you go to print or whatever it is, you know, from the practical side of things, you don't have this extra component. You can put everything into a tuck box and it's nice and neat. And you can always just kind of stack the cards next to the thing, you know, the lean-to or the barn or whatever. And also, depending on how it balances, if that first person who's going to be the last to get all the wolves, if that's a real disadvantage, then you could also allow them an extra bonus, like getting one resource card without pulling a wolf card, just, you know, sort of help balance out, especially that very, very first round. So that's just some ideas. I am now a dad, if you wanted to know that. I know you. Anyway, things are going well here. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
Well, hey, congratulations, Nate, on being a dad. That's super awesome. Last time we saw you, I know you mentioned that that she was pregnant, and that's super, super cool. So that's cool. Also, opening with that joke was hilarious.
That was pretty awesome.
That was super, and super awesome.
Like, the first time I heard it, I thought you were Len.
Yeah.
Like, so it was pretty funny. And then you're like, just kidding, Nate Darty. And I remember I was I think it was at work, and I started laughing, like out loud laughing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell Rob so bad, but I didn't, because I wanted Rob to hear it for the first time like I did.
That's great.
So here is the Google translation of this first part.
Oh, great. Okay.
Hey, did you and your wife, third, nah, just kidding. This is Nick Tardy, longtime listener, first time voice commenter. Just a couple of comments on that January 12th episode, actually. Before that, Rob maybe thought about, wow, so that, then it gets better, but like the first part is just funny.
That's great.
Like, with shoes, I always know it's shoe because it says, hey, which shoe again? And I'm like, it says it's shoe again. So, but anyways, that's pretty funny to me that it does that like that.
Yeah. So this microfied idea with the cardboard arcade, you know, I've forgotten all about Chevy Dodd's cardboard arcade.
Remember we did some fun game ideas for that. Yeah, for a contest.
Cardboard arcade. I guess it certainly could up arrow, down arrow, left arrow, or right arrow, and A and D. I bet I could probably pretty easily fit it into that, come to think of it. That'd be a very interesting concept. That could be a fun experiment to try and figure that out.
Right. See how you would make it fit to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fighting games seems like it'd work really well for the cardboard arcade, too. Just based on the control.
Right. And putting down two cards together to combo stuff. And, up in A is an attack, up in B is a block, or just up on its own is a jump or something. Right. So yeah, so I depending on how you structure that, that could be pretty cool. It could be pretty entertaining.
I'd just be button mashing.
Yeah,
that's what I always do.
Yeah, you just be throwing cards down, see what happens.
Yeah, it's kind of how I play the microfight game, anyways.
Yeah, that's not true. You're very strategic about that.
I'm super strategic. But the other thing the other thing I wanted to point out from Nate's thing was he talked about an outcome of the wolves.
Yeah.
So Nate, you read my mind. The idea of cubes bothering me too. I may, for the first iteration, have cubes because it's easy. but, you know, yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I feel like I want it to all be cards. Like, it's just so clean, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
But then the number of cards just feels really daunting, right?
It's a lot of cards.
100 and some cards. And anytime it's over 90 cards, I'm always like, I always cringe, right?
Yeah.
Even though I know there's no, like, huge taboo to that, but it's just kind of like, oh, gosh, it's over 90 cards. It's almost 100 cards. It's so many cards.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting to think about that. Yeah, I mean, Finish It is 190 cards,
right?
And it's a pretty compact package, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like a lot of cards, but it's really not that many cards.
Right. I mean, terrible game, but it's a super fun game.
But it's not really an insurmountable stack.
It's true.
You know, there are plenty of cards that are 400 and 500 cards. Plenty of games are 400 and 500 cards, especially party games and things.
Right.
So yeah. So I don't think it's really that.
I agree.
Frightening.
It sucks when you have to make a new prototype, though. I want to set stuff on fire with that.
That's true. Yeah.
So, but yes, and then doing something to kind of give the last player a bonus every round.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad idea. I've been trying to think about that. One of the bonuses the last player gets is they're the first to build, so they get first choice because there are some tight resources with things.
Yeah.
So they do get first dibs on getting some specific stuff that might be limited and that other people won't get a chance to get.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of right now as I have it, and I get some playtest under my belt, I may find that's not enough.
Yeah.
So that's a very good point that you had. And again, congratulations on being a dad.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty cool. We did know your wife was pregnant. So, and we knew at some point here she was going to have a baby. So I'm excited that went all well. So, yes.
Didn't say if it was a boy or a girl though.
It was a boy.
Oh, okay.
He told us that at Grand Con.
So did he? Okay.
He also told us the name, but I don't remember.
I don't know.
So, either. And I don't know if he'd want to stay on air anyways.
I'm bad with baby stuff in general, so just, I don't know things.
So, I remember it was a cool name, but I don't remember what it was. But anyways, yeah.
Yay.
So.
Another new builder in the house.
Yeah, you get that guy in a builder shirt right away.
Yeah.
We don't have shirts.
No. or what onesies. Are they? Onesies, that's what it is, yeah.
All right, so it looks like we actually have two more
voicemails.
Two more voicemails.
Oh, all right.
But hey, that's cool because it's early. So
yeah.
BDG Lanier Wexford, what's up? Just got done listening to the Hatman pitch, and another Captain Obvious idea, but I thought I'd share it with you. Talking about the movement and how you can play cards. You play your cards to move your cubes, and then if you get your soul taken, you play somehow you play a different card to move the Hatman. But what if you went back to the Slender Man idea and they're double-sided, so you have a white side and a black side, and the black side controls the Hatman, and once a turn for some kind of consequence, you could actually use the blacks, even if you're alive, you can influence the Hatman to go after somebody else, but at some kind of penalty. I mean, I guess the fact you're not even moving is a penalty, but not really sure. Just an idea to kind of help with the, it might be a little too take that, but it might help with the ending of the game. As you said, you could maybe just run away. So, all right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Len, good to hear from you officially and not just a faker. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. And I think I said in that pitch that I started thinking about retheme, and then I started pushing myself in a different direction. But that's a really good point that I could just reappropriate that concept from the Slender Man game and fit that in there. And that seems like a pretty natural fit, come to think of it. And I also like that idea that while you're even still alive, you have the option to play either side that you want.
Right.
That's a very interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea.
And you could even say, you know, and I said before with the Hatman cube comes out as soon as one of those wells is empty, but maybe you could, at any time, you could play a black card, sort of like in Hearts, you know, when you're breaking Hearts. You know, so you can't play a heart until you don't have any other option.
Right.
And so maybe you could, at some point, you could break the Hat Man open, or, you know, break the barrier, or whatever right. you want to call it, you know, and reveal him at some time.
Right. That's a good point. I actually forgot about the mechanic in Hearts. That's a really clever mechanic in Hearts.
Yeah.
I just forgot that it existed, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't play Hearts that often, but.
No, I, yeah.
It's actually a pretty good
game. It's a great game, yeah. I like Hearts a lot. It's basically Diamonds, but simpler and cleaner. Not to be too critical of Diamonds.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it is kind of...
It's the same thing. It's the same game.
Diamonds has some powers in there built in.
But it's the same game.
But it is. It's the same game. Like that. Yeah.
It's the same game. I have opinions about things, Jason.
Well, I noticed that. So, all right, let's move on from there. So okay. We have one last voicemail.
One more voicemail.
From a new listener.
Oh!
Well, a new caller.
A new caller,
I don't remember if he's a new listener or not since I listened to it, but here we go.
Okay.
Hey, VTG, this is Julius Besser. You know, you should really leave the number for this voicemail, like, on your website somewhere, so I don't have to listen to the end of the podcast to hear it. Anyway, just thinking as I'm listening to you guys talking about the games that you guys want to test before Unpub, wondering why it is that you guys don't try and at least let people write into you or post up PNP files for them and get some blind playtesters from among your listeners and see what thoughts they have on your games after actually testing them out. In fact, I can be your first. Bye-bye.
You know, that's a good point about the phone number on the website. I don't know. Some people say you shouldn't put phone numbers and things on websites and email addresses on websites because you're likely to get spam and get on mailing lists and things. I don't know if we've thought about that at all. But
yeah, I think that if I put the number formatted, because Nate Darty actually said the same thing.
Did he?
He posted a comment on the website and said, dude, what's your number? Oh. So I posted it to the comment section.
Did you? Okay.
But I think that if we post it as 770-tell-BTG, I think that we probably won't get spam.
Won't worry about any of that
there won't
stuff.
Be any scrubbers like that'll see that, and I can format it in a way so that it doesn't quite fit the format.
Okay.
So, but there's a podcast I listen to. They have a call me button on their website. Mm. You just click it and it just dials their number.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Kind of want to do that, but I don't know.
You should look into that. You're our technology guy for the website.
It's true.
PNPs.
Sadly true.
Yeah. PNPs. I have put out quite a few more PNPs than you have, Jason. We actually have an empty directory. We have billinggamepodcast.com/PNP is just a generic kind of drop directory where we have some PNP files.
It is.
And I think there's a couple of versions of Rocket Wreckers, old versions of Rocket Wreckers out there. The first version of my micro fighting game is on there.
Potions
is still there. Yeah. So that's all there. You guys are welcome to try.
Why don't we do it now? Because we're woefully unprepared.
Yeah. Putting together a PNP is tricky. It's easy. It's not difficult for me to put together something for me to print out. Because I already know all the rules and I know assembly instructions in my head, but to turn that into something that anybody can just print off on their printer and then be able to, you know, cut out and be able to play, it's a bigger step. It's actually several much bigger steps to take.
But it's not that big of a deal, and we should do it because
we should do it more often.
We whine and complain about not having enough playtesting time, and and frankly, that would make it better.
Yeah, so. And I will say actually, when I put that fighting game print and play out there, and I tweeted about it several times, I did. It took about 2 weeks, but I did finally get a lot of feedback, and I got I want to say 4 or 5 people who actually printed it and tried
it. And one who took it to the Game Crafter, made a game,
made
out
a whole
it,
game
and
out of
sent it,
it
to you.
Which was pretty badass. Yeah. I gotta say,
that's so, pretty amazing.
Thanks again, Andrew. So that is pretty cool. So you're right. We need to try and do that more often. It's not as easy as I would like it to be.
Right.
But yeah, the worst part is writing rules. I hate writing rules.
Writing rules is the worst. Actually, you know what's worse? Awful. Writing instructions for how to put together a P&P. I hate that more than rules.
Yeah. If it's anything beyond cut out the cards.
Yeah.
And that's frankly why I haven't done one for Saloon Tycoon yet, because not only do you need to cut out cards and cut out tiles, you need to affix those tiles to some kind of a sturdy thing that will stack easily, and you need a certain number of cubes in two different colors, and now you need a game board, and it's a lot of stuff.
You need a game board. Well, you could do it with paper.
You could do it with paper. You need some kind of a gameplay surface. The more components, the more complicated the game, the bigger the burden on the people to do the print and play. And but so that's it. So yeah, if you guys are curious, buildinggamepodcast.com/PNP, and there's some stuff out there. Check it out. Give them a try right now if you want. And we will try and get more out there. I really need to get a revised version of my fighting game on there. I wanted to try and do that before on Pub, and I just don't think it's going to happen. So, but yeah, you can't tisk at me. You've got one thing out there from like 2.5 years ago, so shut up.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, so the last thing we're going to do is a small pitch challenge here. It's going to be a quick pitch challenge because I have to pitch a game after this still. This is from Nick Shaw, and he says, "Hey, Rob and Jason, I enjoy building games a lot. I enjoy engine building games. A lot of fun engine building is after the engine is up and running and is raking in the player huge points, and that's arguably more fun with performing super crazy combo effects." He's right. It's my biggest thing with engine building games that I don't like is I get so excited because the engine's finally working, and then the game ends. That made me think, what if you had a game where everyone started off with a pre-built engine or a load of superpowers, and instead of building the game, building up the engine more, your job was to break/sabotage the other player's engines to make them weaker? Such a game could be called a reverse engine building game or an engine wrecking game, if you like. I can't think of any games that do this kind of thing exactly, perhaps because it's bad or hard to design, or I don't think I've played enough games. I don't know. Studio's design challenge for you. Design a game where the player starts off with lots of special abilities and powers or victory point generating cards, etc., but you can't grow on your engine powers anymore. Rather, the game requires you to deconstruct your opponent's engines/powers during the play to slow their VP progress, hopefully faster than they slow yours. Hope you enjoy the challenge, Nick.
Oh boy, that's a great challenge.
It is.
First of all, the game is called Reverse Engineering.
Okay. this actually reminds me of a pitch I did a long time ago.
Okay.
And this was not an engine building game, but it was the game that was based on Breaking Bad type scenario. You remember that?
I remember that.
I don't remember what it was called. Burning Bridges is what it was called.
Burning Bridges.
The idea was you had this big criminal network, and at the start of the game, the feds are coming for you, or whatever, the superheroes or whatever, and you spend the game destroying your own network, trying to not let the heroes find you.
Okay, yeah, that's familiar.
So that's the same type of thing. But so that's the closest thing I've ever thought of to that. Mm. But this is different, but I think it's interesting and I like it. So, reverse engineering, huh?
Yeah, it's the first thing that popped into my head. So everybody starts with an engine that can accomplish tasks. Well, he said, so you can earn victory points. So you have this engine. I haven't played a ton of engine building games, so I struggle with visualizing that function, but I guess we have to make up that function, huh?
He said superpowers. Could do that.
Yeah, okay.
Start with superheroes.
All right.
We're getting gradually weaker. That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe reverse engine building games are depressing, dude. Maybe that's why people don't make them.
Well, I could see some compelling decisions in there with, you need to try and knock out other people's powers, for lack of a better term. And at some point, you may need to sacrifice one of your own powers to gain the energy to destroy someone else's powers, you know? Okay. That by giving up your own thing, that generates enough X factor to counter someone else's thing.
It actually reminds me of the Matrix, the story of the Matrix, and how there's the machines and the humans, and they keep fighting back and doing things. Oh, the machines are solar powered, so let's burn the sky. Oh wait, now we can't breathe. You know, that sort of thing.
A little bit of that. So I think if we could come up with a narrative to fit that idea into, a theme narrative for that, it might be easier to try and build from that. And we're still thinking superheroes.
We don't have to. I mean, it was just, he mentioned superpowers, so that made me think of it.
Superpowers, yeah. You know, I kind of like this. Maybe we should put this on hold and actually think about it in a better situation, less off the cuff.
Okay.
Because I kind of really like it.
And try and put it together for next week as its own separate thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2 weeks from now.
Or 2 weeks. Yeah, something
next,
like that.
Next episode will probably be an unpub recap. So.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we should try and do that.
Let's do that. Okay. That's fun. That's worthwhile.
Because I really like that idea a lot. That's a really interesting thing.
So.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and pitch your game then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nick. We will get back to this.
Yeah.
To be continued. So way to have a good enough idea that we don't want to just squander it.
We don't just want to take a big crap all over it and move on.
We probably will.
Yeah. All right. But, to be fair, we want to think about it before we take that big crap on it.
So we were supposed to have a guest on. Didn't work out. So here we are.
Here you are.
Here I am trying to come up with this game. And so I don't have a full game pitch. I'll be honest with that. What I had was an idea. And I think a good setup for a game, but I don't know where to go with it from this. So here's kind of my initial game pitch. So the game is called Odds and Ends.
Okay.
And the idea is you are two kids sitting at a table, or multiple kids, 2 to 4 kids sitting at a table, and you want to play a game. You want to play a board game, a card game, something, right?
Okay.
Some sort of interactive game.
Okay.
These are all fake games, but the problem is, like many kids do, all your game bits and everything are just in a big pile, right, in your room. So you get this big pile, and you're all sitting around this big pile of bits, and you know which games you want to play, right? So you're trying to pull from that pile of bits the games you want, the bits you need to play the games you want to play, okay? That's kind of the initial setup.
Okay.
So how does that work? Well, here's what I have so far. There's a deck of cards that are bits and stuff, and some of them are not bits. Some of them are like random things that might let you do an action or something, but they're all random things you'd find in a kid's room, right? And then there's also a small deck of board game cards, or game cards, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the game, each player is dealt 2 game cards. Those are put face up, right? And the goal of the game is to make both your games happen. Now, there are points in the game where I think you'd be able to swap out and say, I don't want to do this game anymore. I want to do a different game.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's kind of the idea, right? Now, you take the deck of board game bits cards, you flip it face up, and you just kind of lay it face out on the table in a big pile, kind of like Camp Khaki style pile, right?
Yeah.
Except for all the cards are face up. There's no face down cards. And on your turn, you can draw a card from that pile. So you can see a good deal of what those cards are. When you draw a card from that pile, you have the option to keep it or throw it back. Now, remember that you can see what the cards are, right?
Yeah.
But you only get one action on your turn, because that's Rob's favorite way to design. So, no, because it's super limiting, and I wanted this to be super limiting. So, on your turn, you basically can pick one thing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in your hand, because it goes with one of the board games you need, or because it's maybe goes with someone else's board game and you're trying to hoard it. But you have a very small number of hit cards you can actually have in your hand, right? So if you ever get to the point where you're drawing a card and you have too many, which would be 5, we'll say, you're going to have to put one back, right? So maybe the game... See, I don't want the game to start off like that, because I don't want there to be any chance you could put your board game together with the cards you have in your hand, right? But the idea is, if I picked up a card and put it back, I might be doing that because I want to block you from getting a card.
Mm-hmm.
So I can set a card on top of a card so you can't get to the one I can see you need. Because it would be very evident as to which games this card would go to, right?
Okay.
That's kind of what I have so far.
So you're not trying to make a new game out of all these crazy components. You're trying to reassemble, or basically reorganize all the mixed up pile to get all the parts for the game you want to play.
Well, that's how it was, but now we're going to change it. Now it's going to be, these are like weird games the kids made up, because that's way better.
Okay.
So like, this game is Thingamajigga Gobbledygook, right? That's the game we're going to play.
Okay.
And to play that game, I'm going to need a spoon and these bits and this and that, right?
Okay.
So these, basically it's a recipe card, for lack of a better term, right? So I'm going to pull out, you know what I mean? Like play my game, it's like a recipe, right? It's
so,
like,
I think what you need then is you need people to be able to come up with their own recipes, according to some kind of a rule system, and you need...
That sounds too complex to me.
Well, so I think what you're doing is players are, if there are four kids playing the game, right? I am trying to make everyone else's recipes more difficult while trying to acquire all of the components to finish my game.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So a recipe or a rule, the rules for the game, you know, a recipe might be, and maybe recipe cards always have two components. Okay. They have two pieces of information on them, I should say. So they have a game bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have some kind of an icon.
Okay.
Of some kind. Okay. Let's go with colors, for lack of a better term. Okay.
Okay.
And in fact, you know, maybe this is kind of a chaining thing. So you have on the left side of the card, you have a blue circle. In the center, you have a spoon. On the right side, you have a red circle.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to get one of these from my hand, and I'm going to get one of these from the other three players. So four components. All right. And so I need to string these things together. So I need a spoon to fill that need for this part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I also need some kind of a rule system to connect the blue dot to the green dot on the next card next to it.
Okay.
Okay. So out of that pile in the center, I'm either looking for rules cards or bit cards, component cards.
Okay.
But I might also be able to get cards that allow me to reorganize the rules in front of me or swap pieces out or mess with other people's recipes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That was super generalized and unclear, but...
But it's still more of a thought process than I had with that part.
Okay.
So maybe what you have are three recipes in front of you, but they're not actually recipes for a game. They're recipes for pieces of a game, right?
Okay.
So you have to chain those three together. So what I need is five cards. Mm-hmm. I need a card for the left of the first card, a card to connect card one and card two,
mm-hmm.
a card to connect card three and card four. So I need four cards. And then a card to go on the opposite side. So basically to frame it. Those are my rules, right? Those cards are my rules.
So cards one, three, and five are your main components. Two and four are your bits, or vice versa.
So no. So you have three game rules in front of you, right? So you've got those are the cards you're dealt at the beginning of the game, right? So you have that would end up being card one, three, and five.
Okay.
No, sorry, cards two, four, and seven. No, two, four, and six. Sorry, yeah.
Okay.
So you've got card one, three, five, and seven are the ones you're going to be drawing out of the pile. They're going to be bits, right?
Okay.
So you've got these ideas for mechanics, basically, for your game,
mm-hmm.
your little kid game, and you have to be drawing those cards to place in there. Does that make sense?
Okay. And they connect with colored dots.
Correct.
Okay. We're using kit logic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So am I just trying to successfully make a chain of seven
mm-hmm.
alternating types?
I think so. Yeah. So there would be different cards you could get a hold of in there. Some would connect. Others might just be a play card that you just get it and you play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if I draw this card, I can do this then.
Yeah.
So maybe the card is something that lets me, maybe I can pull that card out and toss the card on the pile and then it junks whatever cards it's touching or something like that. Or, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. You need to obviously have multiple cards that fit the criteria for all the games.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be the tough part.
Right.
Yeah, that's decent.
It's okay.
It's not amazing, but...
Yeah, what's the win condition? So I
first
just...
First person to complete that.
Complete the seven. So there's got to be ways that I can mess with people, though.
Well, that would be the power cards you could get in there.
Yeah.
Maybe, to make it super simple, when you grab a card, it's got one, the first side has a board game bit, the opposite side has a power. You could choose which one you want to use when you pick up a card.
Oh, I think I like that better. You can either use it to be a part of your game or to mess with someone else's game.
And you have to use it immediately.
Yeah.
You can either put it in your game or use it to mess with someone else's game. So.
Hmm. And you have to use it immediately?
Yes. Because you can't really hold it in your hand because they're going to know what the card is.
Well, they're going to know one side of the card. They're going to know what the bit side is, and they're not going to know what the power is.
True. I kind of like that you have to use it immediately, though. So you never have a hand.
So you're never going to have a hand.
Draw one, play the same one you drew. Because you have control over what you draw because you're looking. You can see the cards.
Oh, that's true.
So you're never drawing. You're never surprised about what you draw.
Right.
At least you shouldn't be.
So you start with cards 2, 4, and 6, and you need to get 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Yep.
From the pile.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all right.
It's okay.
It's not groundbreaking or anything, but...
Yeah, I think, I mean, that would work for a young audience, I think.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's not bad. I was actually trying to design a game for kids. Yeah, so,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Right on. Cool. A few Twitter things. I think Dr. Wicks is, I think, at Dr. W-I-C-T-Z. Dr. Wicks is trolling me here. He says... Are there different flavors of game in different regions of the country, like cooking? I don't know.
Yes.
Yes?
100% yes.
Different parts of the country? Different
Depending on where you're from, you may have never heard of euchre.
Well, all right. That's a good point.
So.
Yeah. He also says, how about games with edible parts? That's why I think he's trolling me.
Games with edible parts.
There's a Jelly Belly gift set that they sell where you spin a spinner and then based on what spinner it is, you eat a jelly bean. So the spinner will point to a specific color of jelly bean, but there are two of those jelly beans in the package and one is some kind of fun, tasty, yummy flavor. And the other one is like boogers or, you know, like chalk or something. And so the game is, am I going to get the good tasting one or the bad tasting one?
Sounds like a stupid game.
It's, you know, it's for people who don't like games.
It's for people who don't like to eat good things.
But it fits that category.
Jelly bean roulette. Jelly Jewlette.
That's racist.
Not Jew. Jewel. Like roulette. Jewlette.
Oh, yeah.
J-O-U. You're okay. Terrible.
You're the one who said it. Let's see. Chris from Flip the Table at Table Flips You says, how about this? Inverting popular mechanisms, deck building to deck culling, perfect information to imperfect information. We talked about that a little bit already. Roll and move to roll and stop. Finding ways to innovate existing mechanisms by turning them upside down. That's an interesting thought. So we talked about switching between perfect and imperfect. Right. Or secret information before.
We've actually talked about the difference between deck culling and
deck building too. Building. Yeah, we've definitely talked about that. Yeah, roll and move versus roll and stop. You actually said you were toying with some ideas similar to that with your fantasy Grand Prix.
Well, that was the opposite. Bit. That was more roll and
or move and move roll
and then roll.
Move like,
and
then roll. Move,
yeah. And then see if you accomplished your move or if you failed miserably.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, roll and stop. Wonder what that would be. Roll and stop. So you're just constantly moving until you roll a die? I'm not
like
sure that'd be.
I feel like I don't know how that would work.
That might be tough to keep track of.
Why don't you tell us how that would work, Chris?
Yeah, but that idea, instead of roll and stop, but instead of roll and move, move then roll, is tech. I mean, you're literally flipping that order, yes. which is a wrong. Very interesting idea.
Right.
So if you guys explore that more, I would love to hear what your experiments or what your investigation of that reveals.
Yeah.
So those are interesting thoughts. Okay, that's probably all we got for tonight then, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah, I can tell. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastBTG. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I am @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, vote us up on Board Game Links. Don't forget, you can also call our voicemail number, our Google Voice number, at 770-TEL-BTG. That's 770-TEL-BTG. And we'll try and get that on the website sometime soon. If you don't want to call, if you're overseas or don't want to miss the phone call, you can always just record something on your home computer and email it to us at buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also go onto our website and leave comments on there and buy our games through our website. You can buy Water Balloon Washout and find links to the Game Crafter to buy the Rumble Bum Academy for bug-based baking, Epic Monster Tea Party, and finish it, the Outrageous Storytelling Party game. That's at buildinggamepodcast.com. Don't forget also about Something From Nothing, our bi-weekly video show with Jason, Chevy, and TC. Every other Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, they talk about games and talk to people who design games and take questions from the Twitterverse and from the YouTubeverse and other verses that are out there, mainly just Twitter, though, actually. I think that's it.
Pretty much just Twitter.
It's pretty much Twitter. Okay. Thanks again, builders. We appreciate everything. We love you guys. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Yeah, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
It just goes, dude. It just goes.